Like to thank Brother Allen. He put a new lamp and a projector, and it went out the last time I preached, and I think he had to climb up there a couple of times to get the lamp to work. So we appreciate that very much, and we rejoice that we have a brother Paul now with us, and baptized, and his sins were washed away in the blood of Christ, and he is a member of the Church of the Lord, and fellowship with one another, and we're very happy that he obeyed the gospel. We'd like to study this morning on the subject, Let the Beauty of Jesus Be Seen. It's a beautiful song that we sing, 454. I'd like to read for our text in Isaiah 53, and we'll read just the first three verses of that chapter. Prophecy concerning Jesus Christ. It says, Who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. And so here Isaiah prophesies concerning our Lord Jesus Christ and the type of person that he is. We notice here, in this lesson, our main thoughts will be, let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me by my pure life, by pure speech, by being a living sacrifice for the Lord, and by our charitable deeds. We let others see the beauty of Jesus in our life. Each of us should resolve to be beautiful on the inside and not worry so much about the external beauty. We know many people spend hours looking in the mirror, fixing their hair and their face to be beautiful on the outside. But the most important thing is for us to be beautiful on the inside and to be like our Lord Jesus Christ. We know that history contains no authentic picture or likeness of Jesus. Of course, you see many pictures today, they claim to be Jesus. Of course, we don't know what Jesus really looked like. And actually, I don't believe that he had the long hair, because Paul said it's a shame for a man to have long hair. And so we don't know exactly what the Lord looked like. The gospel writers don't tell us anything about his appearance other than that he was Jewish. As we read there in Isaiah 53 and 2, it says, For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. And so the prophet said that in the physical form of Jesus, that there was no beauty that we would desire him. In physical appearances, men are mistaken when they make him out to be a tall, dark, handsome man, because Isaiah doesn't give us that picture of our Lord Jesus Christ, his physical body. The song that we sing, Let the Beauty of Jesus Be Seen. When we sing this song, we're not singing of outward beauty. Rather, we're singing of spiritual beauty and the things that our Lord did. What is emphasized to be beautiful about Jesus was the way that he lived and what he taught. What is it that we need to do to let the beauty of Jesus be seen in us? Well, living a pure life. If we live a pure life, a holy life, a clean life, then we're letting the beauty of Jesus be seen in us. Jesus himself lived a pure life. He was without sin. In Hebrews 4 and verse 15, as Brother Chris read, For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. He lived here on this earth for about 33 years. And that whole time he did not commit one sin. He lived a perfect life. He is a perfect example for us. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." And so he took our sins upon himself on the cross. He knew no sin. He was without sin. He lived a pure, sinless life. Neither was there more pure a life lived than that of Jesus Christ. He's the only one able to live on this earth as a man without sin. We must also live a pure life to please God. We've had several members of this congregation that have passed on, and they lived pure lives. They were faithful to God. I think of Sister Aletha, the life that she lived. I think she lived a pure and holy life. In Matthew 5 and verse 8, Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." The pure in heart. Is our heart pure? Is our heart right with God? If it is, then we'll see God after this life. Yes, we're to be a good example to others in living a pure life. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." And so each Christian is to be a good example for others. We're influencing others by our lives. And when they see your life, do they see a pure, a holy person? In 1 John 3 and verse 3, "And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." And so we have this hope in Christ, and it's through Christ that we can be pure and holy. To be pure, we must abstain from impure things. We know that pure gold is gold that is not mixed. It's been refined, and all the impurities have taken out. And so pure is that which is not mixed with something else. We're not to be guilty of sin. In 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 16, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" And so since we're the temple of God, the Spirit dwells in us, then we need to be careful of the life that we live, that we are a pure and holy person. In Acts 15 and verse 20, it says, "But that we write unto you, that they abstain from pollutions of idols, from fornication, from things strangled, and from blood." These things were written to the Gentiles. Yes, to abstain from pollutions of idols. Stay away from your idols and from fornication. We're to abstain from all kinds of sin. In 1 Peter 2 and verse 11, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul." Abstain from those things that we know that are wrong. Avoid them. Flee from them. Stay away from them to live a pure and holy life. In 1 Timothy 5 and verse 22, "Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure." And so let's not be guilty of partaking of other men's sins. Let's not do things because they do them, but keep yourself pure. Also, let the beauty of Jesus be seen in pure speech, not only in just what we do, but what we say. Yes, our speech is to be pure. Jesus always had pure speech. In 1 Peter 2 and verse 22, "Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth." He didn't say anything that was deceitful or evil or wicked. He always said what was good and what was right. And he was trying to help others. In Isaiah 53 and verse 9, and says he, and he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he hath done no violence, neither was deceit in his mouth. A prophecy of Jesus. There was no deceit whatsoever in his mouth. He was honest and straightforward. He didn't try to deceive anyone in what he said. Jesus always had pure speech, and our speech must be pure. 1 Peter 2 and verse 1, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking. And so we're to put those things away. When you became a Christian, you became a new person, a new creature with a new life. A lot of times people, when they were young, they get into a habit of cursing and lying and telling dirty jokes and things. And sometimes you get in a habit of something, it can be difficult to break that habit. But when you become a Christian, you're to lay aside all those things. Get rid of those things and speak the truth with love. Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And so Paul says, don't let any corrupt communication come out of your mouth. In years past, I've talked to brethren, and they let it slip. They'd say maybe a curse word. I don't know if that was their habit or they just happened to do that. But we need to be careful when we're talking that we don't curse or use corrupt language in any way. This means that we need to abstain from telling dirty jokes. A lot of people like to tell jokes. Well, I don't suppose there's anything wrong with a clean joke. But when they're dirty and they're filthy and suggestive, we need to avoid them and stay away from that. Ephesians 5 and verse 4, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. And so let's avoid those who are telling dirty jokes. Stay away from them. Also, we're not to gossip. A Christian has pure speech, is not a gossiper and a talebearer. We notice in Proverbs 26 and verse 20, beginning, it says, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceased. As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a talebearer or as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the body. Yes, when you feed coal to a fire or wood, it's going to burn. And if you gossip and talebearer, telling tales, you're going to keep it going. The only way to stop it is to avoid it and stay away from it and not have any part in it. This means that we need to abstain from lying. We're to be truthful in what we say. Ephesians 4:25, wherefore put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. And so when we talk or when we speak, let's tell the truth. Let's not be dishonest in any way. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that may minister grace unto the hearers. Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, evil speaking, be put away from you with all malice. And so in living the Christian life, we need to be careful what we do and what we say. We're to be a good example before others. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in you, and being a living sacrifice. Jesus' life was characterized by personal sacrifice. Matthew 8 and verse 20. Jesus saith unto him, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Yes, here you see the sacrifice that Jesus said he didn't have a place to lay his head at that time. In John 10, verse 17 and 18, says, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. And so Jesus willingly gave his life for our sins. He could have called 10,000 legions of angels to protect him, but he laid down his life. He sacrificed, he suffered and died on the cross so that we might be forgiven. Jesus' life was characterized by a personal sacrifice. In Philippians 2, verse 5, beginning, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And so he became like a servant. He became a man, lived here on this earth. He sacrificed for you and I. We must be willing to be a sacrifice for Jesus. Paul wrote in Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, perfect will of God. And so we are to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice and living a life sacrificing for the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said that we must take up his cross and follow him. In Matthew 16, 24 and 25, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. And whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Yes, many Christians laid down their lives. They sacrificed. They gave their lives for the cause of Christ. They were cast to the lions, persecuted in many ways. Paul sacrificed for Jesus. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And so he was willing to sacrifice, to give his life for the cause of Christ. How do we sacrifice? We seek God first in our life. Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. And so when we seek God first and put him first, then we must be willing to sacrifice. Be willing to give and to help others. The Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 1 beginning, he says, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond that power they were willing of themselves. Yes, they were in poverty, but yet they were willing to sacrifice and to give and to send money to help poor saints. How do we sacrifice? By refusing to take part in that which is sinful. In 1 Peter 4, verse 3 and 4, for the time past for life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banqueting, abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Yes, before you were Christians, maybe you associated with wicked people, took part in their deeds, but they think it strange when you give that up, and now you're living a pure and holy life. Also, the last thought is charitable deeds. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen by giving to others and sharing and helping others. Jesus did good to and for others. In Acts 10 and verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. He went about doing good, helping others, sharing with others. We read where he fed the thousands with fish and loaves. He had compassion on the hungry. He healed the blind, the deaf, the lame. He raised the dead. Yes, he was willing to give to others. He had compassion on them. We must be about the business of doing good. Galatians 6 and 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially to them of the household of faith. If we're not careful, sometimes we harden our hearts. There's so many people today that are trying to gyp you and cheat you and steal from you. But there's times that we're to help people that are in truly in need. In Hebrews 13, verse 16, but to do good and communicate, forget not, for such sacrifices God is well pleased. What can we do for others? Well, we can visit or see after the sick, the orphans, the widows. In James 1, 27, pure religion, undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Yes, the sick, the widows, the orphans, there's things that we can do to help them. Help those who are hungry. In James 2, verse 15 and 16, if a brother or sister be naked or destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? And so James says, if a person is in need of clothing or food, he says, you help that individual. Yes, let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. By my life, by living a pure life, pure speech, a living sacrifice, and charitable deeds. And so let's live a pure and holy life. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in your life by being a good example. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, we invite you to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. To become a Christian, you must have faith. Faith in God. You must repent of your sins. You must confess that Jesus is the Son of God and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Yes, and Jesus will add you to his church. And be a faithful Christian, and heaven will be home. And so why don't you come now while we stand and sing this song.